Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
WIP on this Wednesday afternoon. Eagles gearing up for a really, really important game on Sunday. Doesn't define the rebuild, but it certainly will be a defining aspect of if they're going to have a chance to make the playoffs. They must win it. They've had three other must wins earlier this year, and they actually won all three of them on the road. They had to beat Carolina when they were 1-3. They did. They had to beat Detroit when they were 2-5. They did. And they had to beat Denver when they were 3-6. They did. This is another one of them. At 5-7, they must win this game. They can't lose it and have playoff possibilities. So, as we gear up for that, with the Diddy, Ray Dittinger is brought to us by PGW. Choose a parts and labor plan that covers all of your natural gas appliances or just one, and get PGW's expert technicians on call for a one-time low cost. Choose your plan at PGWPLP.com. Mr. Dittinger is with us. Ray Diddy, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Joe. How are you?
Good, Ray. Have you shaken off that last one a little bit, or is it still strongly lingering in your mind? It was brutal, wasn't it, Ray?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. I went back and looked at it again, and the thing I kept saying to myself was, I can't believe how bad the Giants are. Yeah. I can't believe how bad the Giants are.
Have
I
you
mean,
figured out yet, Ray, why Sirianni had them pass the ball so much in the first half?
I'm just trying to put myself in the mind of the coach.
Yep.
I'm guessing, And I've had so many discussions with so many coaches over the years. I know, I understand the principle of coach think. And I think sometimes what happens is Nick's thinking, okay, they're up in New York and they're watching the tape of our last four games, and they see us running it. Yeah. So they're going to practice all week to stop the run, which is going to allow us to go heavy on play action and beat them by throwing the ball. You know, they're expecting us to run, so we're going to come out and we're going to throw it more than they expect. But very often when coaches do this kind of thing, they just wind up outsmarting themselves. You know, and yeah. It's funny because sometimes, and boy, in football this is so true, sometimes the numbers really do lie to you. I've had so many people say, well, you know, geez, they ran for 200 yards. I mean, you know, you're saying they didn't run the ball, but it's how they got the 200 yards. Yeah. I mean, if you just look at the raw numbers, they give you a totally distorted picture of how that game played out.
Well, and also if they had run it earlier, they might have run for 280 yards and won the game.
Yeah. Yeah, there was no sense. There's that reality. Yeah, there was no sense that the Giants, if the Eagles had come out and really run the ball the way they had run it the previous 4 weeks, that the Giants were not going to stop them. Yeah. I mean, that was just really obvious. And one of the things that surprised me, and I thought this was a real mistake in the part of the Eagles in terms of their game planning, was if you would watch the Giants on film, and I'm sure the Eagles did, teams had real success running on the edges, running off tackle, running at the corners, because neither of their cornerbacks want to force the run. Neither of their cornerbacks want to tackle. I mean, Jackson and Bradbury, they just don't. I mean, they're cover guys. They don't want to play the run. And so teams that had tremendous success running off tackle, running at the corners, and the Eagles never went there. I mean, I thought that, you know, to me, this looked like it was going to be a huge game for Miles Sanders, you know, because, I mean, that's his lane. You know, that's where he gets most of his yardage. I really expected them to attack that area, and they never really did.
Ray, and again, Ray Dittinger with us. So, Ray, we'll continue on sort of the look back and what it means, but let's start looking ahead, because big topic today, and certainly some wood on the fire now, based on Sirianni's comments a short time ago. Big topic being who should be the starting quarterback if Hurts is deemed playable, but he's going to be really hampered to the point that the Eagles think he would be an ineffective runner. Essentially, if they believe, and it's a hypothetical, but it's a real possibility, if they believe he would have to be a pocket passer, do you start Jalen Hurts, who's a great runner and not a very good pocket passer, or do you start Gardner Minshew? Again, it's a hypothetical. Ray, you know, when I used to do shows with Jaws, our guy, I mean, he would hate when I would pose these questions. I don't want to hear about hypotheticals, but, and you know, we love Jaws. He would hate my hypotheticals, but let's be real. This is a possibility.
Sure.
This is a real possibility. Ray, if you found out Saturday night, Sunday morning, that Jalen Hurts is deemed playable, but he's not going to be able to run very effectively, which quarterback would you start?
Well, there are all sorts of degrees of playable. You know, there's the he's banged up, but, you know, he can play versus the no, he's significantly impaired. I mean, those are two different issues, and they have to be viewed differently. If it's a determination of the trainers and the doctors that he's really significantly hampered to the point where he just can't run, then I don't play him. I don't. I would go with Minshew. It's not my preferred way of going.
Of course.
It's not my preferred way of going because I want to see Jalen Hurts take every snap this year. I want to get every possible opportunity to evaluate him. But you're not doing him or anybody else a favor if you're going to put him out there and he's 50% of himself. If you determine that he's really, really significantly limited in what he can do, then I think you got to play the other guy. Because to your point, Joe, what you said here, they cannot lose this game.
I have to win it.
They cannot lose this game. You cannot go 0 for the Meadowlands, okay?
Right.
I mean, you can't go up there and lose two games in a row and be taken seriously as an NFL team.
But he's not going to go out there unable to run. I mean, he finished the game with this injury, and there were many who didn't even realize he was injured. Now, there are some plays when you go back and look, okay, maybe he could have, you know, squirted out of this situation when the defensive line was collapsing on him, but he didn't look like he was out there limping around. And now he's got a whole week to heal. I believe he should be given the opportunity to prove that he can play with this. And he is the leader of this offense. He is a captain of this team.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's important to allow this guy to try to make good on you know, the promise that he can lead.
Well, I understand your point, John, but also, listen, you've been around this game long enough to know that how you feel at Sunday at 4 o'clock could be totally different than how you feel getting out of bed Monday morning.
Absolutely. But fortunately, he doesn't have to play Monday morning.
No. You know,
it's a whole week later, and they're going to be doing all sorts of treatment. They're going to tape it up extra tight with moleskin on both sides and then spat it over the top of that. Like, I have full faith that he will be able to manage this thing. And I know that this won't be the first time he's had to manage an injury and go out there and play anyway, because that's part of what you do to be a football player.
Right. Well, if it's the kind of injury you can play on and still be reasonably effective, guys play with those all the time. But what I'm thinking is, I think this thing was, he woke up Monday and felt totally different than he felt Sunday. And I mean, look at Daniel Jones. I mean, Daniel Jones finished the game and, you know, did the press conference and he was feeling good. Yeah. And he woke up Monday and he wasn't feeling good.
And now
he's out. He's down this week. So sometimes I think that's what this turned into. I think at the end of the game, nobody thought much of it. He played through it during the game. After the game, he was asked about it. He said, "No, I'm fine." But Monday, all of a sudden, it's an ankle and it's blown up, and now it's a whole different injury.
And Ray, I'd say this: if there is sort of that, maybe he can, maybe he can't, because that is the case sometimes in sports. It's borderline. To me, I'll use an example. Same position, much more severe injury, but Donovan in 2002 when he broke the ankle versus, I think it was Arizona.
Talking about a broken
ankle.
No,
totally different, but just hold on. So
a low ankle
He didn't know he had a broken ankle. No one knew he had a broken ankle. Obviously, he should not have still been playing. If they had known, they would have taken him out, but they didn't know. Okay. He throws four touchdown passes. Part of why he's able to throw four touchdown passes in 2002, Donovan, is because from 99, 2000, 2001, halfway through 2002, he developed his pretty damn good passing quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what Hurts is December of 2021. It's just not.
No.
And again, not total apples
to
apples.
But he threw the best passes of this last game in the fourth quarter.
But we've seen enough bad passes
when he was hurt.
Bad passes and non-passes to know, man, if he can't run much.
To jump the gun and say, hey, you know what? He's hurt. He's not going to be able to pass us to victory.
He's not going to be able to run us to victory. He might not.
Let's opt for the guy who's the backup and who's extremely likable and who will create a furor in this town if he does anything against the opponent, which is very likely he will, because the opponent is the Jets. Like, you are creating a whole Pandora's box and opening it on purpose.
Ray, how much you worry
That's
about
crazy.
That? The quarterback controversy thing.
You can't ignore it. You can't ignore it. I mean, Jack Fritz and I were just talking about it 5 minutes ago, you know, that the whole, because it is, I mean, you couldn't have set it up any better, to be honest. I mean, you've got, if Jalen Hurts doesn't play, Gardner Minshew starts against the Jets, okay?
Yeah.
And you know he's going to throw for 360 yards and four touchdowns, and they're going to win the game in a rout. And now you've got that game plus the bye week to just sit and stir the pot.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's
marinate in
it. Yeah. I mean, and you can't, as the coaches, I mean, that can't be driving your decision, but it's got to be part of your decision. You got to weigh that. But ultimately, the biggest thing is, as coaches, you just got to look at the guy on the practice field and just make a determination of how limited he is. And
whose decision is it, Ray? Hurts or the team's? Who makes that decision?
Well, I would assume that the player is always going to want to play.
No, but who makes the decision?
Well, the team has to.
I agree with you. I mean, John, you've talked a little bit here today about trust the player, put it in the player's hands.
I don't think anyone can tell a player how he feels.
Yeah, but I can tell the player, you're not good enough to help me win.
Look, if the player's going out there and limping around at a walking pace, then it's clear that the team can say, yeah, we're going to have to protect you from yourself here. But I don't think that's the way it's going
to
look.
All right, let's go to the phones and find out what people think. If the Eagles determine that Hurts can start, but that they feel really confident he's going to be a less effective runner and an ineffective runner, who would you start, Gardner Minshew or Hurts? I would start Gardner. To the phones we go. Bryce in Wilmington's with us. Good afternoon, Bryce.
Yo, guys.
Hi, Bryce.
I want to touch on the thing of people watching other people open stuff. Mm-hmm. My daughter's huge on watching grown adults play with toys of shows she watches. So that stuff is stupid. I think that's dumber than the opening gift.
I didn't know about that, but
it's
sounds
literally
strange.
Grown adults playing like with Paw Patrol toys. It is the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, my daughter's
wow.
stumbled upon those videos too. It's really
she
strange.
She loves them, dude. She loves them better than the real show. And it's
so sick. is that your answer for what you don't get?
No. I'm just chiming in.
Okay, fair enough.
But so I'm against you, Joe, but Sirianni's comments didn't make me feel good about being against you. But with your scenario of he's good to go, he just can't run as effectively, I know you're not on board of him being – you're not ready to say he's a franchise quarterback yet. Wouldn't seeing him coming off a terrible loss and having to pass the ball kind of help you – get a better feel for him as if he can be the quarterback going forward?
Of course.
Like, wouldn't you love to see that? I think that would be more valuable than coming in and making the playoffs.
Bryce, here's the deal. So, sure, there's value to finding out how he would perform under such circumstances. But there's also a game to be won where you enter with 5 weeks to go, half a game out of a playoff spot. I mean, I really don't think it's fair to Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson and all these other players. Boston Scott, who's been playing fantastic, and – you know, if Jordan Howard can play, who knows? Like, I just don't think it's fair to those guys to say, guys, we're going to give you – if Hurts is injured to the point, you know, banged up to the point where he's not much of a runner, to say, hey, guys, just for this pure evaluation sake, we're going to give you who we actually believe is the lesser player today. I just don't think that's fair to the guys. And I don't think it's good for the fan base either. I mean, you actually have a shot to make the playoffs. Don't run from that. I'm not saying replace Jalen Hurts for the next 5 weeks. I'm saying if he can't run on Sunday, I'm sitting him down. He might be my backup quarterback because he's probably better than whoever the heck the next guy is. But I'm not starting him.
Yeah. But
backwards. Why wouldn't you start him and see how it works? And then if he's failing,
I just saw a game last week where they wasted a quarter and a half, and that was part of why they lost the game on offense.
Well, don't take a quarter and a half and make the evaluation.
So how many plays do we have to evaluate him? 3? 10?
Give him a couple series.
Well, a couple series can be a quarter and a half. I mean, you can get through 3 series in a quarter and a half.
Yeah. Well,
Bryce, give me something
I'm
you
fine
don't
with that.
Something you don't get, Bryce.
Well, one more thing real quick.
They still
quick,
had a chance to win this game after giving away the first quarter and a half.
But they didn't.
And they didn't because why?
Well, for a bunch of reasons. Rager
At the end of the game.
Well, Rager dropped the ball.
At the end of the game, somehow, despite playing terribly for the entire game, Jalen Hurts on a bum wheel was making the throws that counted.
Something you don't get. What do you got?
All right. So before you buzz me, you're going to have to hear me out on this because it's going to sound a little dumb at first. But I think the human language doesn't make sense to me. Huh. At one point, people weren't saying anything. And now all of a sudden, we're just saying all these words that people made up out of thin air. It makes no sense. And I think it's crazy.
It's an interesting answer. Ray, do you have an opinion on human language as something that's hard to understand in life?
I've never found it that way, no.
I don't know if I agree with him. At one point, people weren't saying anything.
Well, they were grunting.
They were saying something.
Yeah, I mean, I was there. I went back in the flux capacitor and the whole 88 miles per hour thing. I went back to prehistoric days, and I can confirm this is actual.
Should I hit the breaking news?
Well, I don't have video of it.
Big deal.
I can't prove it. You're just gonna have to trust me here. Humans were grunting, but they were not speaking what you would refer to as spoken language.
You know, there are some
flux capacitor, man. Really helps sometimes. But you got to go 88. You can't go 87. 87 miles per hour, you're not going to get there.
Won't get you there.
DeLorean. Hey, let's
hear. There are some anthropologists who say that the reason that we, modern humans, won out over Neanderthal man is that we had the language and they didn't.
Oh, wow. Well, how about that?
We could communicate. They couldn't.
All right, so Sirianni communicated.
Suck it, Neanderthal men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Sirianni communicated today. And, Ray, I want you to hear this audio if you haven't heard it yet. A short time ago, Nick Sirianni posed a question about the very topic we're talking about here. And his answer. It really sounds like there's a real chance Gardner Minshew might get the start. Here is Nick Sirianni earlier today.
If Jalen isn't as mobile as he normally would be, obviously with the ankle issue.
Yeah, that's something that we monitor throughout the week, and we plan accordingly as we continue to go on. And so, again, there is a lot of scenarios that we have to play ourselves through. Again, we don't live in hypotheticals, but we know this is a real. This is a real thing that we got to handle if he can't go or if he can't go 100% or whatever it is, and so we have to you know, be here a little bit later, taking care of our business and making sure everybody's in the right spot to make plays.
Ray Diddy, how do you interpret what the head coach just said?
Sounds like he's open to a change.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he's made up his mind. I don't think he has, but he's not rejecting it out of hand.
Gamesmanship, or do you just gut feeling that it's legit, that Hurts is banged up to the extent that this is really on Sirianni's mind?
I don't think it's gamesmanship. Yeah. I think they're evaluating him day to day. And, you know, if Bill Parcells always used to have a term when he used to discuss players' injuries. He used the term functional. You know, if he's functional, he'll play. Yeah. Is the way he used to put it, which is, you know, that's coach's evaluation. I mean, he watches these guys every day in practice.
Yeah.
At this point in the season, when they get past the other side of Thanksgiving, nobody's 100% healthy. I mean, John knows that.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's dealing with something. But the question is, come Thursday, Friday, when you're really doing the hard work on the field, and you look at it, is he functional? I mean, is he close enough to the guy that we know that we can play him? And if he is, good. We'll just tape him up and he'll go. But if he really isn't, and you can see the difference, even if he wants to play, you got to put the other guy in. I mean, it's really a pretty simple equation, and it's really the determination of the coaches as much as it is the doctors, because they, you know, they can see in the practice field, assuming it's a normal NFL practice, they can see how much a guy is capable of executing the things that you need him to execute. And if he's not, then you're better off not putting him out there.
James, you got some new information?
Yeah, so the quarterback himself has weighed in. Jalen Hurts at his press conference said, quote, unquote, "I'll be ready to go," said his ankle feels fine. And when asked directly if he's playing on Sunday, he nodded a yes, apparently. There you go. According to Jalen Hurts, he's playing on Sunday.
Yeah, we shall see.
At this point, I'm expecting it. At this point, unless something happens in the next couple days, there he rolls it again or something, then that's a whole different story. But assuming that he doesn't re-injure it between now and Sunday, I would expect him to play.
They can do so much for a low ankle to make it feel stable enough to play with. He'll be good to go.
Maybe you should take a bath, like I did, and do a puzzle. Stay off the ankle. Let's go to
actually taking a bath would be bad for it at this stage while it's an acute injury. That would make it swell.
Way to go, Joe.
Oh, bad job by
take a cold bath.
No, it's the cold bath.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what you want to take. You want to just submerge yourself in ice.
Yeah, have you ever taken a cold bath? Guy,
I did it one time. Remember, I did it in Fantasy Camp.
Oh, Fantasy Camp. I do remember. We had the picture.
Yeah. I mean, it was brutal for about 2, maybe 3 minutes, and then you're completely numb. I mean, I don't remember.
And
exactly.
You busted the book out, and you were good to go.
I think I was reading a book, right? No, was I or not?
I don't know.
No. I had my phone. I didn't have a book. I had my phone because I remember taking a picture of it. Yeah. Let's go to Tyrone right now. Tyrone, what's going on, man?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Tyrone.
I'm sorry. I'm used to getting you in the morning. I'd also like to say hello to the venerable Ray Diddinger.
Well, I appreciate that. That's very kind. Thank you.
Yeah, I always listen to you. I enjoy it for years and reading your column in the paper. I wanted to ask you a question. It's not what I wanted to talk about. Do you remember Alan Lewis?
Of course. He was the baseball writer for the Inquirer for a million years. He's in the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, when I was a kid, my father worked at the Terrain Hotel. It was that's where he lived. It was actually an apartment, Terrain Apartments. And the first football game I went to, I had his ticket.
Alan Lewis was so smart on baseball that the Phillies manager used to ask him what to do.
That's great.
Wow.
He would say, Alan, what would – honest to God, I've seen the manager, saw Danny Ozark turn to Alan Lewis and say, Alan, what would you have done? And actually mean it.
That's classic.
Well, I think through osmosis, I think what the Phillies should do, since you're talking about the Phillies a little bit, they should remember that without baseball, in baseball rather, you have to hit and score. And I remember the days with you. I used to like Pete Incaviglia. I can't pronounce his name.
Pete Incaviglia.
Yeah, sure.
But when I used to go see him play, when he used to hit the ball, I was at the vet, the ball looked like it was going up into the clouds.
Well, from that team, he could hit it further than anyone. I mean, I think. I mean, he was a truly massive, muscular guy.
Yeah,
look, he was the number one overall pick in the draft. He didn't have the greatest career. I mean, he obviously played for about 10 years. But, man, in 93, he was very good for the 93 Phils.
Yeah, but they were like boomers as far as with the ball. And I used to love seeing them play.
Yeah, well, I agree. He had a grand slam at the vet.
Yeah, but getting back to this, I wanted to talk about the Eagles and Jalen Hurts. I was looking at a couple of stats. And when Peyton Manning was a rookie, he threw for 28 interceptions in 16 games.
Yep.
And average 56.7%. I think they should exercise, if Jalen can run and stand in the pocket, I think that they should just let him play. And I think he's not by any stretch of the imagination a Peyton Manning, but I think he can learn from his adversity.
Well, it would certainly give all of us a chance to evaluate him in that setting. I just think the game's too important if you think he's hindered to experiment, so to speak. But look, a lot of people want to go that route. Tyrone, give me something you don't get.
The meaning of life.
The meaning of life. Holy smokes.
You're getting some deep stuff here, Joe.
Yeah we kind of indicated we weren't looking for the ultra deep. That's
was not the angle we were going for.
I mean, you can also make a case there is not a meaning of life.
Sure.
So, you know, it's
or
like,
the meaning of life is different to each person.
That's true, too. That's
Joe, I want to jump in here for
a
second.
Yes.
The Peyton Manning thing reminds me of when we did a Tell Us Your Story a couple months ago with Bruce Arians.
Yep.
And it was a great one because Bruce Arians is really good at this kind of stuff. And he was talking about, and I had forgotten, but he brought it up, that he was Peyton Manning's rookie coach. When Peyton Manning came into the NFL, Bruce Arians was the quarterback coach of the Colts.
Wow.
And I had forgotten that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "What was it like?" And he said, "Oh, it was brutal." he said he said we threw the kid in there because we knew he had to play. And he said we coached him up as best we could, but it's the NFL, you know. And he said we had one game we played up in New England, and the Patriots just turned him inside out, and he had thrown like three picks in the first half. And he comes off the field after throwing the third one. And takes his helmet off and goes sits on the bench and says, "I'm out. I'm taking myself out.
Wow.
I'm killing the team. There's nothing to be gained by me playing anymore. I'm out of here." And Arians, and somebody goes over and tells Arians, "Hey, Peyton's taking himself out of the game." And Arians goes over and says, and he tells us in the interview, he says, "I went over to him and I said, 'The hell you're taking yourself out of the game.'" He said, "Get back in there and keep slinging it."
Yeah.
Because you know what? You might learn something. And yeah. he said, "Sometimes I think that that's the biggest mistake that coaches make with young quarterbacks. They're always so worried about the quote-unquote, 'Oh, we're going to ruin him,' mm-hmm. or 'We're going to break his confidence,' you know, if he plays badly. The only way you learn in the NFL is to go play." And he said, "I wasn't going to let him take himself out of the game. First of all, it's a bad look.
Horrible.
That he does that.
Horrible.
He
yeah.
said, but the other part is, what is he going to learn sitting on the bench? You know, go out there and keep throwing the ball. Maybe you'll learn something." I thought it was a great coaching point.
Well, it's amazing. So let me parlay that story, Ray, into what was the biggest story on Monday. We haven't talked about it today, but let's be real. Monday, the number one story was Jalen Reagor, who is never going to become Peyton Manning, but was a first-round pick, is a starter on the team. Ray, if you're Nick Sirianni, what are you doing with Jalen Reagor?
I'm not starting him.
Yeah, so you're dialing him way back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. I mean, some people want him gone. I mean, some people want him, you know, released, waived, whatever, just get rid of him. I'm not ready to go there yet. But I don't think you're doing him or the team any favors by putting him back on field. It was coaching malpractice to anytime you target him seven times in a game. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, come on. That to me was, and there were you. We started our conversation today off when you said, "Am I over this game? Am I over the Giants game yet?" The thing that I am not over, and I don't know that how long it's going to take for me to get over, is on that last possession they had enough time to throw seven passes, and they didn't throw one of them to DeVonta Smith.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in that situation when the game's on the line, and you got seven cracks at it, you're going to put the ball in the air. And you don't throw one of them? You don't give your best player at least one chance
to
go get the ball?
Ray, can you tell, whether it was while watching it Sunday or game film if you have since then, the culpability between Sirianni didn't dial it up the right way or Hurts didn't do it the right way when the play was occurring?
It was probably both, but I think that it was probably – I would put more of it on Sirianni. I mean, you're calling the plays, and – one of the most fundamental, simplest aspect of coaching is the one basic point of, you know who your best players are. When a game gets down to the last minute and you got only X number of plays to win the game, you go to your best player. Yeah. I mean, that's not Lombardi stuff.
No.
I mean, that's just common sense. And they went the other direction. You know, they went to their worst player multiple times. I mean, it's just that's how you lose games. Not just in that's in the NFL, but that's everywhere. When the game's on the line and the game's there to be won, you let your best players go win it.
Let's talk to Carl right now, North Philadelphia. Hey, Carl.
Hey, fellas, how's everyone today?
Doing well, Carl.
I'm glad that you took my call. Thank you for taking my call. Sure. Wanted to weigh in on the Gardner Minshew, Jalen Hurts thing. And 97% of the time when I call or try to get through, I'm with James, I'm with John. I got to go with the hammer today. Got to go with him.
As you should, Carl. I can't truly welcome you to Wisdom because you've been there 2.5% of the time before, but I'll just say well done by you today.
Listen, you got to sit him on the bench because football is a very brutal sport. You send him out there and he's not 100%. Something happens to that leg, man. What you going to say? Oh, man, we should have put Gardner in there.
You know? Say then he has the bye week to heal it up. And he wanted to play. He could play. He should be out there playing. He's a leader on this team. He deserves the opportunity. He just told us in his press conference he'll be ready to play. He's going to be out there. Like I don't know why you would second guess that.
Because he could be doing the same thing you said, John, that people do, that athletes do. Just say, I'm going
to
play.
They do it all the time. And look what happens to careers when the wrong thing happens.
Look what happens to seasons, Carl. The Eagles played Blaine Bishop instead of Michael Lewis.
You guys don't really think that people feel good while they're playing football at this stage of the season, do you?
But you understand there's degrees on these things, John. I understand.
Yes, and I know that this injury, in terms of severity, like, uh-huh. We don't know how bad it is.
Sure.
But we know the injury itself, a low ankle sprain, like, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. That's something that you can play
you're
with.
You're saying good comparative to a high ankle.
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
Compared to a, you know,
hey, Carl, give me
something
you don't get about life.
I don't get Dallas Cowboy fans who live in the city of Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's a good
and root for Dallas. I don't get that.
That's a good answer,
yeah,
too,
really
Carl.
One.
I mean, the only problem is that's it's a little bit gettable in that I hate it, but they were good for decades and the Eagles weren't. And so people gravitate it there. I mean, I get it.
I hate it.
But I get it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
You know what I think is part of it, too?
What's that?
I think part of it is the Staubach thing. I think Staubach, especially in this town, Army Navy is big in this town.
Yes, it is.
And I really think that there's a part of the football community here has real reverence for the whole Army Navy thing because this is home for Army Navy, not this year, but historically.
Sure.
And you know, there's no bigger personage in the whole Army Navy thing than Staubach, and I think that's why he has more. I think that's kind of where it started. People kind of rooted for Staubach, and it's just carried over.
You know what, Ray? My mom went to a dance, not with Roger Staubach, but a dance that Roger Staubach was at. She still talks about it. I mean, you know, it's...
What kind of dance was this?
I don't know. One of those hootenannies back in the mid-60s, I guess.
Hootenanny.
I don't know. Early 60s? I don't
what?
Know. I don't know. I have no idea.
Some social. It was a social.
Maybe it was the dance before the Army-Navy game. I mean, might have been. I have no idea. I don't know if there was a dance.
How's he not gotten more context?
Yeah, right.
What
is your mom
says,
doing?
I hung out with Roger Staubach one time, and you're cool. See you later.
All right, let me write this down. Mom, Roger Staubach. Let me see if I can get to the bottom.
Your mom like a young socialite back in the day?
I think my mom was anything but a socialite. She was young. She still is young, by the way. A young 79. God bless my mom. But certainly not a socialite. Hey, Ray, speaking of back in the day and then more recent and more recent and more recent, and hey, today, baseball's going to shut down again. Tonight, midnight, baseball will shut its doors and say, we are out of business for now, and we're going to fight until we figure it out. It's going to take a long time. Ray, what's your reaction as a big sports fan, big baseball fan, someone who has covered pro sports for years? Here we go again, owners and players in Major League Baseball squabbling to the point of shutting down the sport. This will be a lockout. What's your reaction, Ray?
Yeah, once we've been down this road before. There's nobody to root for. You know, you can't take a side here. They're both wrong. You know, this can only harm the game. And you know, baseball. You know, Manfred is such a terrible commissioner. I mean, he's just awful. He really is. Yeah. I mean, we're living in a time of bad commissioners. I mean, you look around. I don't know that any of these guys really understand what the position means. To be the commissioner of the game, you really have to be a steward of the game. I mean, you really have to be thinking and functioning in the quote-unquote best interest of the game. And none of them do. None of them do. They function in the best interest of the owners and the TV networks. And the game is not even secondary. It's maybe fourth or fifth in the line. But if you're not, if you work in Major League Baseball and you work anywhere in that empire, you have to know that your game is in trouble. I mean, you have to know. You just look at the TV ratings. You look at the attendance. You look at all the complaints about the pace of the game and the young people's lack of interest in the game. Baseball is at a crisis point. It really is in terms of its future, in terms of the game of today, what it bodes for tomorrow. And you're going to shut this thing down and think it's not going to hurt you? I mean, you've got to do everything you can to bring people back into the ballpark and renew people's interest in baseball and make them care about the game and root for the game. And now you're just moving in the opposite direction. And I mean this with both sides. Yeah. You know, both sides. I mean, the owners and the league and the Players Association, you know, they're just going down a road to ruin here. And the fact that nobody is speaking up and saying that, to me, just tells you really how out of touch they are with the general public.
Well, you know what, to me, Ray, very frustrating, and John, is that the one thing I will say that's a positive about this moment is it is an opportunity for baseball to clean itself up, to figure out issues, and actually solve problems. But here's what I know is going to happen. I tell you right now what's going to happen. At some point, they're going to come to an agreement. I think it'll be during 2022. I think it'll probably be before the season starts, but who knows. I don't think they'll solve the fundamental issues, Ray, that you're talking about. They will figure out certain economic realities and say, okay, you get this, I get this. It's not a salary cap, but you know what I mean. They're gonna set some parameters. But they're not going to solve the issues that essentially your comments alluded to, which is the league a likable league? Are they appealing to young people?
No.
Can World Series games start before, you know, whatever it is, 9 o'clock and end before, you know, 1 a.m.?
No.
You know, all these issues. I mean, there are so many issues. I think roster size issues and pitching changes and, you know, just all this stuff, they will hash it out eventually. But they won't actually figure out any of the issues that we really most care about.
Yeah, and they weren't going to do anything to improve. They aren't going to do anything to change what needs to be changed. The stuff that needs to be changed within the game.
Totally.
I mean, they might bring in a pitch clock or stuff like that. But I mean, the biggest problems are the game is so, and the Major League Baseball is so watered down. It is so, there are so many teams, and there are so many mediocre players, and there's so much bad pitching, and you know, and we're so wedded to analytics. I mean, we have moved so far away from the game as we all understood it growing up, that they've kind of created a new game is really what it amounts to. And it's one that people don't care to watch.
It's less
I mean, that's the simple reality of
exactly
it.
Exactly right. All right, to the phones. Matt in Bristol's with us. Hey, Matt.
Hey, guys. You know, I wanted to talk so much about football, but when you start talking about baseball, I can't even tell you how disgusted I am that there's going to be a lockout, how disgusted I am that the Phillies are doing zero, and – you know, the Mets have Scherzer and DeGrom now. I'm disgusted with baseball.
I'm with you, man.
Yeah, you're not alone.
Yep.
Now, I have an unpopular opinion with football, and I'd like you to hear me out on it. I was a big defender of Jalen Hurts, and the reason I was a defender of Jalen Hurts is I felt that it was in the best interest of the football team that I love that he be the guy. After watching that Giants game, he is not the guy. It's in my mind now, he's not the guy. Mostly because of his arm strength, mostly because of his decisions. I mean, I think the only people that dropped more balls than Jalen Reagor were the Giants secondary, because I counted at least six interceptions that should have been interceptions.
You're gonna take his worst game and say that's who he is?
Yeah, I really – well, it's – listen, there's enough that I've seen just to know he's at best going to be – he can be an NFL player, a backup quarterback. He's not a starter. He's just not. And I actually think that if the Eagles were to move forward – now, I'm not saying Minshew is the guy. What I'm saying is from this point forward, if they started Minshew the rest of the season, they would have a better chance – of making the playoffs.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
With the offense,
yeah,
running.
I don't agree with that, Matt. I mean, if Hurts is healthy, I don't agree with that.
Well, that's where we're going to disagree because I think Minshew is a better passer.
Well, he is.
I think he's a better passer too, and I think he's a better decision maker. But do we have the weapons.
Yeah, if they run the ball the way they're doing, and they have a better passer.
Remember,
and a better decision maker,
with Gardner Minshew as the quarterback, you're not going to be doing a lot of the ride and decide stuff that holds the backside DN.
Yep.
Makes it a lot harder to run the football when your quarterback's not a threat to run it. That does help our run game.
I think with a better passer, though, it's going to make Devontae Smith and, dare I say, Jalen Reagor better.
It's such a leap to say, hey, let's change everything. Let's change the way we play offense.
Well, I think
because Jalen Hurts had a bad game.
All right, Matt, give me something you don't get. Give me a good answer here.
I don't get why we're still wearing masks with everything going on.
All right, Matt, you got it, man. Let's go to Andy right now in Oxford. Andy, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing well, Andy.
Good, buddy.
My first time on the air with Ray. Don't roll your eyes at me, Dittinger.
Oh, my goodness. Boy, you're going back a ways.
Yeah. I'll never forget that.
Yeah, neither will Marcus.
Ray, did you roll your eyes at him?
Yeah. I said that on the TV one time, and it was very – that was not one of my finest hours.
Oh, no, we had a battle on TV.
Yeah, more or less.
Well, I won't pick at that scab if you don't want to go.
It was quite an interesting back and forth, but
right.
I digress.
I'm sure Ray enjoyed you bringing that up there the last 10 seconds. All right, Andy, what do you got on the Eagles here, man?
Well, I think if Hurts is fit 65-70% of what he was running, that they need to go with him. And partly I say that because this backup quarterback, I think if you have him back there in the pocket and he's throwing, that they're going to let him throw, and then they're going to try to take away the run on you. And the run has been the most effective part. And, okay, I mean, how long are we going to depend on Hurts to run for 70 yards a game?
Honest answer, I think probably for at least 2 or 3 years. I really do. I think he's got that capability. Andy, if he's here for the next, let's just say, 3 years, it's not going to be pure Lamar Jackson style the whole time, but I don't think they're going to completely go away from it. I mean, that is a huge part of what he brings to the table, especially while he's in his rookie deal, which is 2 more years after this,
right.
When you haven't had to commit to him financially in a way that's a huge signing bonus, and if he gets injured, you got a real problem. I mean, I don't think they would dial back the running very much. I mean, you look at college football, Andy. Running quarterbacks, you know what they are? They're running quarterbacks. And they don't say in college football, I got this running quarterback, let's make him a passer. I mean, not much. They try to improve him a little bit. But now, I know they also cycle in another guy 2 years later, but I see no reason to dial back his rushing. Not yet.
No, I'm just saying, for this game, he doesn't have to be everything he's been. And I think fear that the Jets will key on the running game.
I do too. And say, beat us with your arm, and I think he would struggle in that way. Andy, give me something you don't get.
First and foremost. Well, which one is it? When everybody says first and foremost.
Oh, all right. All right. Uh-huh. Very, very interesting. First and foremost. Well, I don't know what to say about that. I guess it's both.
Yeah.
First is first and foremost
first
is second.
First.
Yeah. All right, I'll tell you one thing I do get. The town's very aggravated on Sixers and the Flyers. Very aggravated. For different reasons. And we'll ask the Twitter poll question of the day here and answer it. Brought to us by the Casino at Delaware Park Sportsbook. Watch and wager on all pro and college sports. Online at DelawarePark.com. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. You must be 21 to play. Today's question, which team frustrates you more? A, the Flyers. B, the Sixers. We put them in alphabetical order. The Sixers going into last night were the 8th seed. I don't know if that changed after last night when they didn't play, but going into last night, they were the 8th seed. Flyers currently a couple points out of a playoff spot at this stage. Now, before, John, you assess where you think people went with the answer to this, let's have all four of us go on the record. With Ray, why don't you start first here? Which team, Ray, frustrates you more? They're frustrating for different reasons.
Yes, exactly
right.
There
are different types of expectations. Ray, which team frustrates you more?
I would say the Flyers, because I expected them to be better.
Better than the Sixers?
Obviously
better than this. Are you saying better than the Sixers or just better than this?
Better than the Sixers in their current state, yes. I actually thought the Flyers were going to be pretty good this year.
Yeah. Now, look, you know.
They started the season out looking like
they'd
turned a corner.
Which makes
Carter Hart was playing better. It felt like they had a new attitude. Yeah, there were high hopes.
Is that a Patti LaBelle new attitude?
Yeah.
Ray, that song
Philly's
is one of the worst of all time.
No, stop.
Listen, Patti, listen, God bless her. She's a legend of Philadelphia, but Patti Bell's song, New Attitude, is horrendous. Horrendous. John Ritchie, Flyers are 6.
There's wrong a reason everyone likes it except you.
Yeah.
I got a new attitude. Oh, come on.
I'm going to say, look, we know there are a lot of reasons for the Sixers. Frustration, yep. You know, the Ben thing is massive. But when you lose 6 games in a row after looking like you had discovered how to, you know, figure this thing out.
Yeah, the formula.
The Flyers have to win this.
Seltzer, Flyers or Sixers, which team frustrates you more?
Yeah, it's the Flyers for all the reasons the guy said. I just had higher hopes for the Flyers, too. Like, you know, I thought they had a real chance to – because it's hockey, you know?
Yep. So I think
it's going to happen in hockey.
I think it's close for me personally, but I would lean Sixers. And I lean Sixers because there's a window for the 76ers to win it all that I don't think is what we're dealing with the Flyers. And I feel like we're looking at another year where they're just not going to.
Wasting a year of Embiid, so to speak.
Yeah. And like, I know it's a tough standard because they were 8-2 before Joel got injured. Not injured, tested positive. And so, I think it's fair for someone to say, Joe, that's unfair of you. And maybe it is. But I look at them play, and I just don't think they're meshing. And I think they've taken a major step backwards in talent without Ben Simmons there. They haven't solved the problem. I mean, to say the least, they haven't solved the problem. And it's almost sort of accepted that it's acceptable to not solve the Ben Simmons problem. I mean, it's not acceptable to not solve the problem. Now, I know it's a difficult problem to solve, but it's not acceptable to not solve the problem. So my answer would be Sixers. John, what do you think the results came in? All these people have voted on Twitter. Which team frustrates you more?
Man, this is tough. It's got to be close to 50. 55% Flyers.
So first off, it's very close to 50-50. It's 52% Flyers. Wow. Yeah, it is.
Good guess.
To the phones. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting poll when you get – and by the way, that doesn't speak good for either team. Because when the other is that frustrating – and a lot of people are voting 50-ish percent for the other team, you know, then you're like, you know, the Flyers should hear this poll, the Sixers should hear this poll, and say, wow, we got a perception issue. We got an issue this season if we're being compared to them on a frustration meter, because they're both enormously aggravating right now.
Oh, terrible. I mean, you can't – the Flyers' power play is
God.
It's the worst thing I've ever seen.
It is so bad, Ray. And Giroux, there's nothing they can do with him.
I know.
He's got the no-trade clause. You want to talk about bad contracts in Philadelphia sports history. That's a whopper. Let me ask you this question, Ray. Let's just say he plays, I don't know, 2 more years. I don't know what year's deal's up. Whenever it's done, and he eventually is gone, and he's got all these points, and he's in the top 3 of all these categories in team history. Is Claude Giroux's uniform, is his number retired? He's going to be top 2 or 3 everything.
Yeah.
But he's going to have won essentially nothing. Got to the Cup in 2010 when he was very good, but it was one of his first years. 2012, he was one of the best players in hockey, and they got to the second round. Thereafter, they've only won 1 series since 2012. Which was during the bubble and the lockout in 2020.
It's still crazy.
Yeah, I mean, they went all those years without even winning a series.
Right.
And they missed the playoffs, like half of them.
Right.
Does Claude Giroux's number get retired?
Knowing the way the Flyers do things, they probably will. I wouldn't. I mean, I put them in, you know, Flyers Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
for sure.
Flyers Hall of Fame.
The numbers will take you there. But no. I mean, I've always felt that the retiring of the number is like the highest honor a team can give you. And that should be reserved for the really, really special players. And he had a long career here. He scored a lot of points, but he never won anything. And it's not all his fault, but if you're talking about retiring numbers, you know, put him in the Flyers Hall of Fame, absolutely. But retire the number, I don't think so.
Well, I agree with you, Ray. I will say this. I looked the other day down at a game at the Rafters. I actually gut feeling think he won't have a retiring number. I think it's only 4 guys. It's Clark, it's Perrant, it's 5. Clark, Perrant,
Barber, and Mark
Howe. And Barry Ashby. I think that's it. Like, they didn't retire LeClaire, and, I guess that's it as far as who would be next knocking on the door. I mean, Tim Kerr, Poole, and Prop, none of the Prop wasn't retired. And team-wise, a lot more was accomplished.
Poole,
Prop is not, Prop's not in the Hall of Fame either. I mean, he's in the Flyers Hall of Fame, but if you look at his numbers, I mean, he should be in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Prop was
awesome. Poole was, like, captain for, like, 7 years in a row or something.
And a lot of winning seasons, 85 and 87 getting the Cup. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Sam in Delco. Hey, Sam.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. How are you?
Doing well, Sam.
Hey, I'm glad you guys are talking about the Flyers there for a second. They absolutely frustrate the living daylights out of me, mainly because I really can't stand the NBA. So I'm kind of biased towards that whole. Mm-hmm. But I really thought they were going to do better than what they've shown. It's absolutely disappointing.
Now, to be fair, there have been a couple big injuries. But, man, to be this bad, come on.
No, I agree. And speaking about being bad, this whole thing about Major League Baseball and the lockout, and my 8-year-old son wants to go to a Phillies game, and I just don't see investing the money and especially the time that it takes to play a game these days, because you're going there for 4.5 hours, you're watching, 600 pitchers come in throwing, 20,000 pitches, and it's just a slow, boring game. And for them to go on a lockout like this, it really does just go to show you how out of touch they are with
correct
with everyone.
Yep, absolutely right.
As far as the Eagles go, Richie, I know you've always said this, the best availability that a player could have is, or I'm sorry, the best ability is availability.
Right.
And if Hurts is able to play, if he's ready to go, I don't care if he's 70%, 80%, 90%, 100%, I don't care. Like, if he says he can play, then he should absolutely start.
Yes.
I think that shows a lot of confidence that the Eagles have him, and I just think it's all around better for the team, because I really do think that he gives them the best chance to win, my opinion.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. And I think one of the aspects of his personality that I appreciate most is the way he gets after it and the toughness that he's exhibited thus far. I love the way he spoke with confidence today. You know, he said he will be ready to play. Let's take his word for it. He knows how he feels.
Yeah.
Sam, give me something that should something you don't get about life.
I don't understand how you can drive on a parkway and park on a driveway.
Yeah, it's a good answer. Here's the only problem. It's been said a million times.
Yeah, it's a little too
It's too standard fare.
Yeah.
I mean, come
Pat.
On. We've all heard it before. Here's what we have not heard, Ray. The story behind my mom and the dance and Roger Staubach, which I now have the update to.
Oh.
My mom has texted me, John. Here's I'll read her text verbatim. So the dance with Roger Staubach, she says, it was a party after the Army-Navy game. It was held at the Walt Whitman Hotel in Camden, which I assume, Ray, you've probably heard of. I've never heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
She says, buses took the midshipmen and their dates to the party, and then we were all brought back to Philadelphia.
So she was a date.
She was a date for a midshipman, yeah. I mean, that's my vague recollection.
Wow.
Now it's coming back to me. She says the girls drove themselves home and the midshipmen were driven back to the Naval Academy on the buses. I was in college at the time.
Nice.
Mama D hanging out with Roger Staubach.
This is salacious, isn't it?
Salacious.
Ray, who was guy, she a guy, date?
This guy next to me. Look him up on Facebook. Probably some 80-year-old. Who knows? Who knows?
Mm.
Look at John trying to cause trouble.
A rear admiral in the Navy, probably, or something.
All right, let's go to let's talk to, by the way, Ray.
Yes.
Did she ask Roger Staubach to dance?
I don't know. That part was not alluded to. I would assume not. But, Ray, wow. You know who she should have asked to dance? Mr. Roberts, best Navy man of all time.
Oh, from the movies.
And see, John and James, they don't even know Mr. Roberts.
No.
Yeah, they don't know Mr. Roberts. They don't know Marty. They don't get the classics.
I know Marty. I've seen Marty.
Okay, well, John doesn't know Marty.
Oh, Mr. Roberts is a classic.
Jimmy Stewart, Mr. Roberts?
No,
it's Henry Fonda.
Henry Fonda. Yeah, it really is a great movie.
Henry Fonda. But Jack Lemmon won the Academy Award for playing the ensign.
He was great.
Henry Fonda was nominated but did not win.
Yeah, what a movie. All right, let's go to Mike right now in Northeast Philly. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's happening, fellas?
Hi, Mike.
Yeah, I just have a couple comments about the Eagles. If this Hurts guy wants to play, you let him play.
Yes.
And I was looking at the free agent roster for the Phillies.
Yep.
And nothing happened. What happened there? I mean,
well, they lost Hector Neris and they signed nobody. So that's what happened, which is ridiculous.
And one other question about the game Sunday.
Yep.
When that guy from the Giants, that fullback, that guy Merckx or something like that, mm-hmm. Do they review that?
Yes.
That didn't look like a touchdown to me.
No, it was. They reviewed it fairly quickly because they could see pretty quickly that the ball had not hit the ground.
Okay, I got a trivia question for you, Joe.
One of the worst catches I've ever seen.
I love trivia questions. That was unbelievable, Mike. Or John. Mike, give me your trivia question. I look forward to, knocking this out of the park.
Okay, football.
Yep.
The last running back, he was rookie of the year of MVP, and then the next year he was MVP again.
Now, you're saying same season he was rookie of the year and MVP?
Yeah, he was rookie of the year MVP, and then the next season he was MVP again.
The only one I can think of, and Ray probably knows the answer, but I will take a stab. The only two I can think of, I think it's going to be either Jim Brown or Gale Sayers, and I will guess
Rookie of the year and MVP, and then MVP. I will guess that it is Gale Sayers.
Nope.
Damn it. Who is it?
Earl Campbell.
Wow. Okay. Mm. All right, Mike. Hey, Mike, give me something you don't get.
I got a few, but I'll give you this one. People that fly kites.
You got it, man. Well, it helped Ben Franklin.
I mean, I don't disagree. I never really got it.
Some of those kites seem cool, like the speed kites or whatever they're called, like the athletic-looking kites that go all over the place. You know, like you see them on the beach and stuff.
Yeah,
flying those kites that zoom all over.
You
can, like,
direct
them.
Dude, when you're looking up at the kite, you have no chance to see the beautiful women in front of you. There's no beautiful women in the sky, and there's beautiful women everywhere else. Why fly a kite? That's my theory on flying a kite on the beach.
Why do you always bring it back?
Because
why are you
absurd.
So lecherous? Yeah.
I mean, it's just what it is.
It's really hard.
I'm not saying pull out the binoculars.
It's
I'm
always
just,
where your mind goes.
I'm just,
like in any situation,
I'm just saying,
find a way to bring it back to that.
I mean, you know what I don't get?
What's that, Ray?
I don't get saltwater taffy.
Ooh, and talk I know, about salacious.
And I know that's big around here. I know that, you know, the Atlantic City folks, the Atlantic City people that love the boardwalk and they love James's saltwater taffy. It's part of
James.
A culture. It's part of our tradition. I never understood saltwater taffy.
Wow.
I had an aunt that always had like one of those coffee dish things on her her dining room table, and it was always was full of James's saltwater taffy, and I didn't like the taste of it. I didn't like the way, like, it used to lock my jaws. If you tried to chew on it, it would just, like, lock up your mouth. You couldn't even open your mouth. I never understood the appeal, but I saw people walking around with the stuff on the boardwalk all the time.
Looking back, I remember thinking, like, I was just supposed to like it because it was a real treat. Saltwater taffy. Look, we brought it back. It's great. So I would eat it and enjoy it because I was supposed to.
Wow.
Right.
Not because it was really that good.
Hey, Ray, tell us your story.
I like it. I'll say.
Ray, tell
you
us.
You do?
I do.
God bless you. And I know most people in my family liked it, but not me. I never got it.
Ray, tell us your story this weekend. Who do you have?
Real good one. Doug Collins.
Oh, that is great.
Doug Collins had a great life, had a great career. We spent a lot of time talking about the 1972 Munich Olympics and the stolen gold medal. And how those guys have never accepted the medal. Their silver medals still sit in a safe in Luzern, Switzerland, because they refuse to accept them, and they still don't accept them. But we spent a lot of time talking about that, and then obviously the whole run with the Sixers and then finishing up as a coach. He was great, really good.
And that airs this weekend. That's great. Doug Collins with that Olympics in 72, two most pressure free throws of all time.
I really think so.
Ramil Robinson is second with the free throws in 89 at the end of the NCAA championship game. I think that's number two. But Doug Collins, U.S.-Soviet, 72, two free throws basically to win the game, even though they didn't win the game with all the nonsense. Two biggest pressure free throws in the history of basketball.
Yeah, and he was half knocked out. If you remember, the Soviet player shoved him into the basket support, and he said he was, like, really woozy when he walked to the line.
Incredible. Ray, great stuff today, as always. Thank you. We'll be listening this weekend. Thanks, Ray.
All right, take care, guys.
Up ahead is Time's Yours. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on 94 WIP. All right, Time's Yours. And it's going to be a heck of a thing trying to figure out what the best answer is for something we don't get. We'll do that in a couple minutes. Let's hit it right now with Times. You're sponsored by Baker Tilly. Let's
Nick Sirianni did not lose this Giants game. Yes, we should have ran the ball earlier and more often. However, you have to pass the ball in the NFL. And as of right now, this kid is way too inconsistent. It has nothing to do with instruction. He probably doesn't have the chops to be a top-level or even mid-level quarterback in the NFL. Time's yours.
Yeah, a lot of people kind of flipped on Hurts in the last week. I'm not saying he did, but certainly some people have come off where they were a week ago.
I'm just blown away that he has his worst game of all time as an Eagle, and that's who we all think he is.
It means
he's not that.
Yeah,
he's not what he was on Sunday.
Yep.
He's better.
Can somebody explain the players' bargaining agreement to me? I just don't understand. I mean, Nick Sirianni says, we're going to stick with what works and we'll see you on Wednesday. Like, I just don't understand. I have to work every single day leading up to Christmas if I want to get my Christmas bonus. I just don't think these guys are putting in the work, staying committed to do what they have to do. There is way too much free time for these guys. John, can you elaborate on this?
John, that don't make any sense, does it?
Way too much free time.
Talking about the NFL players, I mean, it's pretty grueling, man.
Yeah, I mean, when you're in season, you don't have time to do anything.
Not to
mention
the body needs
the facility till 5:30. You're
and the body needs
recovery. You go eat and then you just you just want to be in bed, sleep.
No, they
recover.
get really well.
And then
paid,
you're getting back in there at 6 a.m. to get treatment.
Dude, for those 6 months, it's not an easy life. They're well compensated, but let's not act like that's an easy life for 6 months.
Said it last year. It's time to try to trade Claude Giroux. He doesn't make anybody better. He hasn't made anybody better since he was a captain. His best season, he was just another guy. Yager was passing him the puck, setting him up. He doesn't make anybody better. I'm watching the same thing every year.
Well, I mean, I get it, man. And again, the problem, we've covered this so many times, Claude Giroux has a no-trade clause. I mean, I don't know how many times they've tried to trade him. I have no idea. But if he says no, he doesn't go anywhere. Yeah. I mean, it's all there is to it. By the way, if you want a theme in sports that owners and general managers should be a little more aware of, it's don't hand out no-trade clauses, especially if it's a max contract kind of thing. I mean, what is the point? I don't know if his is, but I'm sure he's making a ton. I mean, the no-trade clause for Deshaun Watson, a disaster for the Houston Texans. And, I mean, listen, if you're an amazing player, okay, no trade clause. And Deshaun is great, but no trades are killing some of these teams.
Joe, do you realize you just said Terry Bradshaw wastes 30 seconds of your life? You take 3 freaking baths a day for hours times Terry's.
Yeah, but Terry, it's a ripoff.
It's a hell of a point, right?
It's not as funny.
Oh, he wasted your time? Well, that's what you do with your time.
Not as money. Take that, tough guy.
Dear Rubber Hammer, I would sincerely like to support you in your argument about Terry's money being a ripoff. And my form of support would come in a jockstrap if you had a pair. Get a light, you moron. Time's yours.
And I'm going to make this real simple. I'll do it at the end of Time's Yours. Give me the next call, James.
If you pull into an intersection at a red light and then you proceed to move through the light after it changes red and there's a red light camera behind you, you don't get a ticket. So, Joe, you're wrong. Now, John, James, as far as the Adam's concerned, he's all yours, boys. Time's yours.
Well, I'm right. You're right. You won't get a ticket, but it doesn't mean it's not against the law. And with that, we shut it down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
Let me just lay one thing out about it. If you don't know what we're talking about with Win Terry's money, I made the point yesterday. Maybe it dragged on a little bit. But I did make I did make the point that I think when Fox does those promos, Win Terry's money, it's a pet peeve of mine for two reasons. One, because it's a ripoff of Ben Stein 20 years ago. So it's just like, come on, someone else already did that. And two, it's not Terry Bradshaw's money anyway. And a lot of people thought I was wrong. Some people thought I was right. Whatever, that's fine. But here's the deal. If we at WIP did a thing, and it's called Win Joe DeCamera's Money.
Ooh, that sounds like a good idea. I like
let's do this.
But what if put your money up? I'll sign up for that.
So I get your little nuisance, thought-provoking mind there, you two knuckleheads. But
I like this
every
idea.
Single person listening would know, especially if it's a lot of money. Like, yeah, $10, sure, you can win my $10. But let's say it's a lot of money. Those kind of contests are. You would know it's not my money.
No, I think we should make it your money.
Yeah, I'm in on that.
Let's do this.
Yeah. You lose and beat Dan, you actually have to pay out cash.
Oh, my God. Let's go.
No,
that
would up the ante, wouldn't it?
It would.
Yeah.
I just don't understand, like, who cares if it's Terry's money? Like,
because it's just.
What does it matter? Like,
it's just
it's
not.
It's money. They get money if they win the thing.
But it's just
and
not.
And Terry's the face of the thing. So, like, who cares?
And Terry's making it exciting with how.
Like, who cares?
But
like,
it's just.
How he's grasping onto
care.
That briefcase.
It's not his
I
money.
Like, that.
Like if you want to say it's a dumb promo, or
yes.
That's fine. I'm fine with that. But the caring that it's.
I think
his
it's
money
fun.
Is so weird.
I mean, what if I said to you, James, you get to win $1 million, but instead of $1 million, you win $10?
That's not the case
different.
In this, though.
Yeah,
you're
but,
getting money.
But
like,
you're,
you
but,
are getting someone's
yeah.
money, so who cares who they say
yeah,
it
but,
is?
But you're
like,
being told. But you're being told it's Terry's money. It's not Terry's money.
Cool.
Okay, but you know that.
Give me Jerry's money. Give me.
But I like that Terry's trying to.
Joe's money. I don't care.
I like that Terry's trying to protect the money like it's his.
By the way.
Like it's his.
Not to mention the
that's
fact.
That's interesting.
Not to mention. Here's the final comments. We're again talking too much. But I'll just say this. Not to mention. And I love Terry Bradshaw. I love him.
Well, that's the point. That's why they did it.
But not to mention the fact he's actually getting paid extra money just to use his name, image, and likeness.
So in a sense, it is Terry's money. Yeah.
No, no,
yeah.
no.
I mean,
the money
involved, he's getting money from it.
You guys.
So you might not win Terry's money,
Don't even try to pull that technicality. Joey in Bucks County. Joey, what's going on, man?
Technicality king.
Joey, we're turning two. Give me an answer real quick. What's something you don't get?
I don't get who put
the alphabet in alphabetical order.
Ooh, okay. Well, we don't know who that was, but the alphabet, alphabetical order. All right, John James, we got to make a call. We have some good answers here today.
Yeah.
What's something you don't get? We had my lack of knowledge about the animal kingdom. People that wear saggy jeans while wearing a belt.
That's a good answer.
That's a pretty good answer. Taking a 3 baths a day as an adult. Good answer. I mean, in the minds of many. Ordering a steak well done.
Good answer.
The thought that I have a shot to run for president in my mind.
I mean, that's high on the list.
Not having Easy Pass, like 20 years after Easy Pass started. Watching, what was it on YouTube? Boxing or something?
Yeah, unboxing. That's a great answer.
Okay, that. Yeah. And then you got watching other people play video games.
I like that one a lot.
John James, where are we going?
I think Joe as president is just...
It's the most ridiculous
so
thing
idiotic.
That was said today.
I don't think it's more ridiculous than watching people play video games.
It's way more ridiculous. I think it's absurd that people watch people play video games.
Right.
But you being president is like 8,000 times more ridiculous.
Yes.
Well, just remember,
I agree.
James, you got to dream a dream sometimes in life. But,
I do. I just try and, you know.
Can you sing I Dreamed a Dream from Les Mis? I dreamed a dream of time gone by. What a great song. Fantastic, yeah.
It's a great song.
Everyone, Les Mis is amazing. Everyone, have a wonderful rest of the day. John Marks and Ike Reese are up next. We will talk to you tomorrow on 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.